Got to play a baby grand while we were in Virginia. Did she? I don't know if she told you, Brother Worcester. She got to play a baby grand while we were in Virginia, a baby grand piano, and now she wants one too. Amen.
So.
I pecked a few keys, and this feels a lot different than our little piano. Amen. But anyway, I appreciate Brittany, and I appreciate all of you. Now let's stand together, if you would. Joshua 5, I'm going to read a few verses here. Joshua chapter 5, verse 10. Joshua 5, verse 10. The children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. They did eat of the old corn on the land of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Notice in verse 12, the manna ceased. The Bible says that the children of Israel had manna no more. Amen. Let me preach to you on that thought of the manna ceased. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, tonight. Thank you for your church and your people. Lord, I pray for your spirit now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read through this passage of Scripture and I read verse 12, it just kind of jumps out at me there like the manna ceased. And we just kind of read on and blow through it. But we have to remember something. These folks here, this was the next generation of Jews. They had lived in the wilderness for 40 years. Every man of war from the age of 20 years and up had died, remember, because they would not go into the promised land 40 years ago. But so now you got the next generation. 40 years plus the children that were born in those 40 years, and they're coming into the promised land. They cross into the promised land, and understand something, the manna ceased, and there was no more manna. I think we need to stop and think about how devastating this was to these people. This was a major change in their life. They had never seen anything else but manna every day. Can you just imagine? Now, some of them obviously were born in there, but a lot of these had grown up from the years somewhere below 20, now 40 years later, and they'd grown up every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then twice on Friday because they got the Sabbath day ahead of time. But every week, and then it would start over again. Amen. On Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it was manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for supper. It was manna for breakfast. It was manna for lunch. It was manna for supper. It was manna for breakfast. It was manna for lunch. It was manna for supper. What are we going to do tomorrow, Mom? What are we going to eat for breakfast? We'll probably have some manna for breakfast, for manna for lunch, and manna for supper. What about the Sabbath day? We'll eat manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, and manna for supper. Folks, that's all. Think about this with me now. That's all they knew for 40 plus years. Some of them, others that were born in the wilderness, had never seen any. I mean, imagine they had never even seen any other kind of food. It doesn't even compute with our brains. We who can go down here to Kroger and find anything we want, if we got a few dollars, we can find us a Pop-Tart or something like that. We don't have any clue what this kind of life is like. But some of these people, the reason the Bible says this is because this was a major change in their life. This was a, and understand, I have to believe, if you'll just think about it for a minute, you'll believe, some of these folks panicked. The manna stopped, and they didn't know what to do. The manna stopped, they didn't know how to act. The manna stopped, they didn't really know, okay, what do we do now? The manna's gone. This is all I know. In other words, it was a very crucial change in their life that, and many of us, listen, as Christians, we go through changes like this where something changes in our life that we have never even thought about. Those kids didn't think about the manna stopping. Those kids were used to eating manna. It was everything that they knew, and they didn't plan for the manna to stop, but all of a sudden the manna ceased.
Right.
This was a major change in their life. And I'm telling you, in our lives, when we first got saved, remember, when we first got saved, it was God's will is that it is a major change in everything that we know as lost people should have changed. It should cease at that moment, and we should begin to live and walk by faith.
Amen.
When we get saved, amen, listen to me, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, or I could say it like this. All things are ceased.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Behold, all things are become new. And that's what's going on here. They're going into the promised land. The promised land is not a picture of heaven. The promised land is a picture of the life of faith. The life that's lived by faith. Now, they were depending on God for that manna in the wilderness, but they were not supposed to be in the wilderness. They were not supposed to live in the wilderness. You and me are not supposed to live in the wilderness. You and me are not supposed to dwell and live and abide and live and die in the wilderness. That is not where they belonged. But that's all they had known. This was all they had known. Then the Bible says, let's look over here in verse 12. The manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. The next day they woke up, and I guarantee you, by habit, just habit, they went out the door to pick up their manna. Honey, what'd you do with the manna? Oh, and they look over next door at their neighbor in the neighboring tent, and they say, did you take my manna? Where's my manna? What do you mean you don't have any manna? I mean, it was a major change. Okay, listen to me tonight. Changes aren't always easy. Many times, changes really upset our whole lives. And I want you to think about this with me. Their lives were turned upside down. A major change was taking place. We're creatures of habit, folks. You and me, just nod your head. That's right. We're creatures of habit. Listen, you always sit in the exact same place. Amen. I'm amazed that Miss Claudia's over here. Usually she's over there. She I don't know why. Miss Claudia, why'd you move? I'm used to you sitting over here. Because Miss Squires moved up. Amen. See, Max is supposed to be sitting over here, and he's back there. Y'all upset the apple cart tonight, amen? But see, we're very much a habitual people, aren't we? We do things, we get into a routine and a habit, and that's okay. But listen to me, sometimes things have to change. In order for us to grow as Christians, things have to change. In order for our faith to increase, things have to change. I'm not talking about moving to another seat in the church, amen. But things have to change in order for us to grow. We can get to a place where we automatically look at a change as a bad thing, but that's not always the case. Change is not always bad. Now, understand something. Change can look really bad. Think about Elimelech. Elimelech was Naomi's husband. Elimelech went down, the Bible says, to sojourn in Moab. He was just going to go down for a little while in Moab because there was a famine in the land. Well, he took Naomi and his two children, Mahlon and Chilion, with his two boys. And they were just going to go down there for a little while and just hang out until the food situation got better in Bethlehem. Now, the fact of the matter is that they got down there and they got in the world. They got used to the world. They got used to the ways of the world. And then Elimelech died. And then Mahlon and Chilion married Ruth and Orpah. Not Oprah, Orpah. Nobody's married Oprah, amen. Who could dare marry Oprah? Anyway, that's another message. Did I just step on somebody's toes? Change is good, amen. Change the channel, maybe. Maybe even turn it off. That's another message. Whew, I got real quiet. Mahlon and Chilion. Whoa, where was I? Amen. They married Ruth and Orpah. And then, dear beloved, then they both died. So Naomi now is down there in Moab. Her husband's dead. Both of her sons are dead. Talk about change. There's no way anything good could come out of that, right? But wrong. Wrong. That change led to her getting up and going back to where she belonged, and Ruth went with her, and then she met Boaz, and they got married, and they had a little baby named Obed, who had another baby named Jesse, who had another baby later on named David, King David, and through that line of bloodline, Jesus Christ came into the world. Now listen, that looked like a very, very bad day when her husband and both of her sons died. But that was no, it wasn't bad. God was behind it.
Amen.
God was behind this man of ceasing. But it was a major change. Change is never bad when God's behind it. Write that down, dear beloved. Change is never bad, even when it hurts. Look in verse 7. Look in verse 7. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua, what? Circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them. By the way, folks, I'm not going to get into this details, you understand, but that's pain. Those kids had grown up in the wilderness and they'd never been circumcised, and that was an outward sign of an inward change, that they belonged to God, you understand, but that is a painful process.
Amen.
Parents, you'll have to tell your children about that later. I'm not going into details right now. Understand, but that's pain. But that was God telling Joshua to do that, because it was time to roll away that reproach of the wilderness. Change is not bad when God's behind it. But listen, even when it brings pain, hey, don't tell me Naomi went back to Bethlehem, Judah, and she said, Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Bitterness is her new name. She was angry at God. But by the end of that book, amen, she was lit up with joy and happiness, because God had brought a new joy, a revival to her heart. It would have never happened if she just rotted away in Moab. Change can hurt. Change can break our hearts. But understand something. God's at work.
Amen.
God's at work. God is at work here in Joshua chapter number 5. God is at work in your life, my friends. Listen to me, brethren, sisters. God is always working the hearts and lives of His people. Always.
Amen.
Elijah went straight up to King Ahab and said, "It's not going to rain until I say so."
Yeah.
And you wicked king, by the way, maybe that's somewhere in there, amen. You wicked King Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say so. And then God said, "Way to go, Elijah. Good job, man. You're wonderful." No, he said, "Run, hide." Run, hide. You told me to do that, God. Now you're telling me to run and hide. Where do I go? Go down by the brook chair and I'll feed you with ravens. Ravens?
Ravens.
Ravens are vultures. The ravens, when you're driving down the country roads in Virginia at night, or even at dusk, and windy roads, you come around the corner and there's three or four vultures eating something in the road. I'm thinking, well, they're getting ready to go take a supper to Elijah.
Amen.
Now that's not a good change. That's not what God, that was God's will, amen. And then Elijah went down, and then the brook dried up. Lord, the brook's dried up now. I want you to go to a widow.
Yeah, great.
A widow in a famine. Yes, a widow in a famine. I want you to go to a Gentile widow, by the way, in Zarephath. Not a Jewish widow, but a Gentile widow who doesn't know who you are, doesn't care about you. She's not loyal to, she's a Gentile widow. She has very little to eat. She has a son that she's supposed to feed. I want you to go down there and tell her to feed you first. Now, those were major changes in Elijah's life.
Right.
Not to mention major changes in that widow's life. By the way, that widow was told by God that he was coming. You remember the story? And then she knew that he was coming. She was willing to give him a glass of water. But then he said, by the way, make me a sandwich first too. Make me a sandwich before you feed your son. What? Now that was a major, that woman was not exactly sure what, she said, "I can't do that, Elijah. I can't do that. I don't have enough to feed me and my son. We're going to eat this last meal and we're going to die."
Yeah.
But see, that change was major. That change was God said, you honor me with that first meal, and then I'll show you a change that you will never forget. And she never ran out of meal. She never ran out of oil for the rest of her life. But it was a major change. A major change. Something that she was not excited about at first. Are you with me? She was not excited about that at first. God has changed us from darkness to light. God has changed us from death to life. God has taken us from condemnation to salvation. God has changed us from guilty to justified. God has changed us from bound in sin forever to ransomed, redeemed, and eternally made free. God has changed our eternal destiny from hell to heaven. God has changed our hearts from utter despair to perfect peace.
Amen.
God has changed our future, amen. We had no, do you remember before you were saved, you were just wandering around doing nothing and doing it for no reason. Just like they were in the wilderness. Another circle around Mount Sinai. Another circle, another 10 or 15 years around this mountain. But see, God was doing something in their life. God is working, and then God changed our future from bleak, amen, to brighter and brighter, the Bible says, every day. Now, God has saved us, included with those good changes. God wants to change our lifestyle, the way we live. Listen, from sight to faith.
Amen.
The reason those people were in the wilderness for so long is because they trusted what they saw instead of trusting what God said.
That's right.
Yeah. They saw giants. They saw great walls. And they said, grasshopper, I'm going to get squished. But God said, that's your land.
Right.
Go in and possess it. I've given you the land. It's yours. But see, instead of them risking, is that really a risk? Instead of them giving up what they wanted and changing their course, they went their way and they ended up in the wilderness for 40 years. I don't know tonight what may be going on in your life, but God's in the business of changing us. Can I say this to you? I need to be changed. I'm going to be honest. I need to be changed. There's too much me in me. There's too much pride in this me. There's too much obstinate, stubborn, foolish pride in me. I need God to sometimes just take out the old-fashioned bullwhip, amen, and say, you know what, son? I'm going to whoop you. And you say, well, that hurts. Lord, listen, but stop. You're looking at it all wrong.
Right.
You're looking at it all wrong.
Right.
It's God saying, you need to be changed. You need to grow. You need to get to a place where you can trust me. Amen. I tell you what, I remember the days when my dad thought that big leather belt was going to change my behavior. And it did. It did. I stopped doing what I was doing. And I tell you what, that leather belt had a lot to do with it. Changed me. God never changes folks, but he's in the business of changing us to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. But listen, if we're not careful, we'll see that change as bad, and we'll run from it. We'll see that change as bad, and we'll say, no, I'm going to stop right here. I'm comfortable here. God never intended for those people to be comfortable in the wilderness. The life of faith is where, listen, the life of faith is where God wants us to live. It's God's design. It's a life of faith that's going to bring changes, though. If we elect God, he'll change some things. Number one, he'll change our personal loyalty. You see, again, verse 7 says that Joshua circumcised. And the Bible says in verse 9, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. They had a new leader now, Joshua. Remember, these folks had followed Moses for 40 years. there's a new change. There's a change, I should say, a new leader now. There's a new loyalty that they're required. They're no longer looking and following the same man that they've been following for so many years. This is a picture, folks, and this is where it all begins. This is where it all begins. This is a change from you following self and flesh to following the Savior by faith.
Amen.
What do you mean, preacher? Moses was the meekest. I understand that. But you remember why Moses didn't make it to the promised land? Because Moses, in his flesh, beat that rock twice when he's supposed to just talk to it. God said, I want you to speak to that rock. I want you to tell that rock that you need some water. It's a picture of prayer, faith, trusting God. Moses lost his temper and took that rod and beat Jesus twice. That rock was Christ, the Bible says. God said, nope. You're not going to the promised land. But God was using that to show us, listen, flesh never gets us where we want to go. Flesh and us losing our temper and doing what we want to do in anger out of, listen, that was a major change. Last time he had smote the rock. Remember, last time he had smitten that rock one time with that rod, and he said, well, I'm going to do it twice this time. And God said, no. I've changed it. I don't want you to smite it. I want you to talk to it.
Yeah.
And Moses, in his anger, in his rage, he smote that rock twice, and God said, nope. And now they're following, instead of following the man who lost himself to his flesh and his anger, they're following Joshua.
Right.
Who, by the way, his name means Jesus in Hebrew.
Amen.
Savior. See, folks, this is where it all boils down really to this. This is where it all starts. What God's trying to get you and me to do is to stop following what we want.
Yeah.
To die to our will, to die to our desires, our ambitions and our goals for our life, and say, I'm not following me, I'm following thee.
Amen.
That's what faith is all about.
Yeah.
But it's a major change.
Right.
It's a major change. It's going to require you to say no to what you used to say yes to and say yes to what you used to say no to.
Right.
It's going to require you major changes. You're going to have to be loyal now to a new leader, to Joshua, to Jesus, to no longer to what you desire.
Amen. That's right.
Death to self. Death to the flesh. Mortify the members of your flesh. Joshua now replaced Moses. Jesus, if you're saved tonight, amen, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus has replaced, you should have Jesus on the throne of your heart, no longer yourself. That's what this is all about. If you find yourself irked, if you find yourself frustrated at the circumstances that you're in, you're still following yourself.
Right.
Man. When you find yourself irritated at what's going on, now, I'm not talking about things that you've caused, obviously. You're just serving the Lord, going about, you're doing everything you can to honor God, and you just don't like the way things are turning out. Listen to me. That's not faith.
That's right.
That's flesh. God is trying to get you to just let go. Cast all those cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And turn and follow Jesus and let Him lead you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? The Lord is my shepherd, I'm not going to get frustrated. He's leading me through this valley of the shadow of dark. I'm not going to live a life of always wanting more. Always wanting something different. If the Lord is truly my shepherd, I shall not want.
That's right. Amen.
Man. But that's a complete change from where you used to be when you were lost.
Right.
That's a complete change from where most Christians are every day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's a change in personal loyalty. It's a change, and also number two, in your place, your position. In other words, they're not in the wilderness anymore. Now they're in the land of Canaan. They're now in God's will where they were supposed to be. God's will is a place.
Right.
It's not a mystical mystery secret. It's a place. Amen. Remember, Naomi's, God's will was Naomi to get back to the place of Bethlehem, Judah. God's will for Elijah was get there to that brook and then get there to that widow. It's a place.
Amen.
Amen. For most people, it's a church that people just can't understand. This is God's will for me to be here.
Amen.
Right.
It's God's will for me to be in a place at a certain time. It's God's will for me to be in a place to do God's will. Instead of circling Sinai, now they're conquering Canaan.
Yeah.
Amen. Instead of wasting away in the wilderness, now they're feasting on the fruit of promise.
Right.
Amen. They're now in the Holy Land, in the land of promise. Their fathers never got there.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And now they're there. I love that song, amen. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. It's a
amen.
Place.
That's right, amen.
Yes, it's faith and it's living by faith and walking by faith and trusting God and obeying God, but God's going to take you to a place because in that place there's a people.
Amen.
And in that place, there's provisions.
Yep.
There's new provisions now. Again, the manna ceased, but hey, folks, they didn't go hungry.
Right.
They went from manna to milk and honey.
Amen.
They went from manna to milk and honey because God is faithful. The corn, the Bible says here in verse 12, the old corn of the land, they had eaten the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. They didn't go hungry. They were fed better. They had better than what they had before. But understand something. Listen to me. It was completely different from what they had ever known.
Right. Yeah.
The unknown is scary, isn't it? The uncertain is sometimes, many times, scary. But it's what God is doing. It's teaching you, right? I mean, I remember. It's all a process. I'm one of those kind of guys who enjoys a challenge. Maybe it was in the military or just the my father's blood in me, but man, give me something that can't be done and let's watch God do it.
Yeah.
That's a challenge, right? It's a can-do attitude.
Right.
But God's people should have a can-do attitude more than anybody else in this world because we have a God in heaven who can do. Amen.
Amen.
But if it's going to happen, it's going to require some changes.
Right.
It's going to require doing things His way, trusting Him to provide what He wants us to have, not what we're used to, or not what feels good, or we think is more comfortable, but just say, okay, God, I don't understand this. I've never been here before. I've never seen this before, but I'm going to trust You to do this.
Amen.
New provisions.
Yeah.
New personal loyalty. New place. Understand something, though. New problems.
Yeah.
Verse 13. Came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Whew. I'm not going to get into the details, but I think everybody here knows Jericho was a humongous city with very tall, thick, fortified walls, gates. And Joshua was there by Jericho, which means the people were right there, and the Bible says, in the plains of Jericho.
Right.
They could see that fortified stronghold of Satan. Every time they got out of bed in the morning, guess what they saw?
Right.
Jericho. They said, Lord, now the man has stopped. We're in a new place. We're following a new leader. And now, look at that monster wall every day. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Look at that monster wall. I think about Sabrina. She just lost her husband. That's a major change. My mom just lost my dad a few months ago. A major change. I mean, some of you are going through things that God's trying to change things and you don't understand. It's like every day all you see is a problem. All you see is an insurmountable wall. Problems. Well, wait a minute, Lord. I'm where You told me to be. I'm eating what You told me to eat. I'm following Jesus. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, and all I see every morning as I get out of my tent is that monster wall in front of me. I can't get over that wall. I can't get through that wall. I can't tunnel under that wall. This is a big problem. Lord, I'm trusting you. I mean, there's all kinds of examples I could use. Lord, I'm trusting you, but I'm giving, but I can't pay my bills. Lord, I'm preaching, I'm praying for my family, but they're not listening, they're not getting saved. Lord, I'm witnessing to people all the time, but they're not getting saved. Lord, I'm inviting people to church all the time, but they never come. Sabrina told me that this morning. She said, I was out in the parking lot looking for somebody. They were supposed to be here today. They promised me they would come. I gave them the address. I was out in the parking lot waiting for them. Guess what? They didn't show up. Every one of you has got, and we've all got stories like that. The things that, real problems that aren't some type of, you know, imaginary deal. It was a real wall. It was a real big city. It was a real big problem. The adversaries are everywhere now. They're in the land of Canaan. Yes, the promised land of milk and honey, but also the land of enemies galore. Enemies on every hand. All they had out there in the wilderness was dirt, dust. But now they've got enemies. And this is where we lose most people right here. You see, I'm following Jesus. I'm going the way that the Bible says to go. I'm doing everything I know how to do. And now all I see is a wall that I can't get around, I can't get under, can't get over, can't fix, I can't break it down. I'm stuck.
Wall, three.
You see, we tend to think that, okay, I must have taken a wrong turn back there somewhere, right about, oh, I don't know, the Jordan River.
Come on.
I took a wrong turn, Lord. I think maybe I need to go back and reevaluate. Listen to me. If God hasn't told you to reevaluate, if God hasn't spoken to you and said, this is wrong, fix this, and then you just need to wait on God.
Amen.
Wait on God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
Wait. Let God show you the way. That leads me to my next thing. See, this life of faith is a life of major change. The manna ceased. There's new personal loyalty now. I'm loyal to Jesus, no longer me. I'm in a new place, no longer where I want to be. I'm letting God provide new provisions, amen. But there's real problems here. Look what God is doing as we look in verse 13 again. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes. Now, wait a minute. Where were his eyes before they were lifted up? They were lowered. I believe with all my heart Joshua is walking with God out there. Joshua's looking at those problems that he knows, I can't do anything about this, Lord. And his eyes are down and he's praying.
Yeah.
See, there's not a whole lot of need to pray out there in the wilderness. I know the manna is going to be there tomorrow.
Right.
Mary's been there for the last 35 years. I'm not going to pray for manna. It's going to be there tomorrow. But now, there's Jericho.
Right.
I've never seen this before. I don't have any idea what I'm going to do. And God says, I know you don't, son.
Right.
Get on your face.
Amen.
Get on your face.
Amen.
And he did. I believe with all my heart. God brought Joshua to a new level of prayer.
Amen.
Prayer. Folks, when you can't beat it, when you can't in your own strength, you're exactly where God wants you to be. Because you have to do it His way.
Amen.
You have to get on your face and in prayer go to God to find out His way.
Yes, sir.
Right.
His way.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you see how many people from Brother Ernie's family were here on Friend Day? Did y'all realize how many people that were here on Friend Day were from his family?
Yeah.
And he's been asking prayer for those people for well over a year now.
Amen.
Those people don't have any desire for God, but yet they showed up on Friend Day. Yeah. I was talking to him not long ago, today as a matter of fact. And he said, you know, I talked to my family, I think he said the night before, and they said they weren't coming. Overnight, somehow, amen, God worked in their heart and they decided, I'm going to go to church today. I'm going to go to Amazing Grace Baptist Church, as a matter of fact. Not just any church. I'm going to Amazing Grace Baptist Church on Friend Day with Ernie and my family.
Yeah.
Now, folks, listen to me. What you don't know is what Ernie told me is how much he prayed and fasted before all of that happened.
Amen.
You know why? Because he hasn't had any way to make those people come to Christ. There's no way he can make those people come to church. There's no way he can make those people get saved, but he understands, but God's got me in a place where I can't do anything about it, but I can get on my face and I can beg God to do something in their hearts.
Amen.
And did you see all those people that showed up?
Amen.
Folks, that's what I'm talking about. God wants us to learn to do the impossible through prayer.
I was in,
I wish I would have brought it with me, I didn't think about it, but I was in Virginia, you know, last Sunday, and the church gave us some goodies, like, kind of like we're giving missionaries back there, and they gave me a big coffee mug, and it says, prayer changes things. I love it. I don't know why. We drink coffee out of every morning now, amen. I don't even know where it's at because we're still unpacking stuff. It was a major catastrophe. But anyway, somewhere in my house, there's a black coffee mug with white with black letters, pray without ceasing.
Amen.
And that's what I remember from that trip more than anything else. The blessing. Hey, that's a beautiful coffee mug. That I want that to define my life.
Yeah. Right.
As a matter of fact, I need that to define my life.
Right.
They knew who to give that to. Because you know what? I need to pray more.
Amen.
We need to pray more.
Amen.
God puts us in places and provides for us, but brings us to real problems that we can't change. We have nothing we can do but get on our face and say, God, what am I going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? I can't do anything.
Yep.
Amen.
But you know, if as soon as we stop praying, as soon as we say, Lord, I'm tired of praying, I'm tired of waiting, I'm tired of wanting to do it your way, we may be able to get rid of Jericho out of our sight. Oh, you know, we'll just move somewhere else. And we'll see Jericho anymore. But you will never get that out of your heart.
Right.
You'll never be right with God.
Right.
You'll never have peace. Because you'll know, hey, right, you're supposed to conquer that city.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about Denton when we first came here. I still feel that way. I feel that way about Little Elm. And listen to me, I can't do anything but pray.
Amen.
We can't do anything but pray.
Right.
And that's what Joshua was doing.
Right.
There was a change. Yes, there was new problems, but there's also a new level of prayer.
Amen.
And then look what happened as a result of that prayer. And the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in verse 13 and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn. Whoa! Hello! Wait a minute now. Joshua says, art thou for us or for our... I mean, Joshua's a man of war. Amen. He was a fighter. And so he got done praying and he opened his eyes and there stands a man with his sword drawn. And Joshua's, drawing his sword and said, wait a minute. Whose side are you on?
Oh.
Yeah.
But I want you to notice the response here. This is amazing. He said, nay. Nay means no, right? In other words, I'm not on your side or the adversary's. What? Can't be neutral in this thing. No, listen now what he says. Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. What is he saying? He said, I'm not on your side, Joshua. I'm not on the adversary's side, Joshua. I'm on the Lord's side.
Amen.
I'm here as the captain of the host of the armies of God. I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. And Joshua, he said, Joshua, why did he say it like that? Here's what I'm saying. He said, Joshua, I'm on your side if you're on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
Joshua, I'm on their side if they'll join the Lord's side. I'm not on sides. I'm on the Lord's side. Amen.
Yeah.
And Joshua fell on his face.
Yeah.
You said, see, God was changing everything in these children, in these Israelites, in their lives, in their hearts. There was new provisions. There was a new leader. There was new problems. There was a new prayer life. But listen to me now. Now there's a new manifested presence.
Amen.
As a result. Understand something. Joshua had been faithful for 40 years in that wilderness, but he had never seen this man before.
Right.
I believe this is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So how do I... It's not an angel, because Joshua fell on his face and worshipped him, and he didn't stop him.
That's right.
Angel said, no, get up. I'm not God. Worship God only. That man didn't stop. That was Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
Pre-incarnate Jesus. But you understand something. Joshua had been faithful to God for 40 years in the wilderness. He'd never seen that man. You know why? Because he didn't know who he was.
Right.
What do you mean, preacher? I mean, now there's a new presence, manifested presence there in their camp because of the changes that God was bringing.
Amen.
You know, when you face problems like that, and instead of quitting, you get serious about your prayer life. Listen to me. There's going to be a new presence.
Amen.
In your heart.
Yeah.
A new presence manifested. You're going to start to see God do things that you hadn't seen before.
Amen.
Because that's why God's doing it.
Amen.
That's why God has you there.
Amen.
At that wall, staring up at that wall. Because He wants you to get on your face. And then He says, okay, now I trust you. I'm going to manifest myself to you. And listen, it's not about you or me and the adversaries. It's about who's on the Lord's side. And Jesus Christ showed up and He said, I'm not for you or the adversaries. I'm for God. If you're for God, I'm with you. If you're not, I'm not with you. There's a new power now. Because there's a new presence. I'm not saying He wasn't there before, but Joshua never seen Him.
Right.
And I'm not saying you're going to see Jesus. Don't get weird on me. But you're going to see Him do things.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
Like bringing all that family to church.
Amen.
Call unto me, and I will answer thee.
Amen.
It doesn't stop there, though. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What was Joshua doing out there by the plains of that wall of Jericho? He was on his face praying. And God said, I heard you, son. Now get up. I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. I'm going to show you my son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you the power that I have. And listen, of course, through Jesus Christ, through that manifestation, Jesus told him exactly what to do. Walk around that city.
Yeah.
6 days. Walk around that city 7 times on that 7th day. And then just shout. Oh, like Joshua would ever come up with that on his own. But see, the beauty of faith is when God does something that you can't explain.
Yeah.
Yep.
And when anybody else knows about it, they know it's God.
Amen.
Those folks of Jericho were looking down over that wall, and they laughed for 6 days. They laughed for a few hours on that 7th day, and then they stopped laughing.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because their whole life crumbled.
Yeah, that's right.
The problem, folks, went away.
Yeah.
The problem went away. Now one day, so wherever God's got you, whatever problem you're facing, listen to me, I don't know when it's going to go away.
Right.
I don't know how long you're going to have to keep praying and trusting and waiting on God. I don't know. That's between you and God. But you need to stay where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
And trust God to provide what He wants you to have. Amen. Trust and be personally loyal to Jesus, not yourself.
Right.
Amen. Learn to pray like you're supposed to.
Amen.
And you'll see a new presence and power in your life that you've never seen before. Listen, it's not something weird. This is what God wants. He, the Bible says, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
This was a major change. The manna ceased.
Yeah.
But God wasn't ceasing the manna. God was saying, I don't want you to trust that manna anymore. I want you to trust me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Faith. When the manna ceases, when the brook dries up, don't give up. Get on your face.
Amen.
Keep praying.
Amen.
Keep waiting. Keep watching. God's there. God knows where you're at.
Amen.
He knows what's going on. After all, He's the one that put them there.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads.
Amen.
Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, that's the message tonight. Changes are never comfortable for most of us, Lord. We don't like change.